So, good evening. I can't really know when to start because I didn't have my numbers. My numbers didn't flash up. So, but anyway, good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. It is Tuesday evening, and like I always say, it is one of my favorite days of the week. Why? Because I get to play with you and I get to be on the radio and interview amazing, amazing people. So a little bit about my weekend. We're having this full moon. The moon is in Capricorn. I don't know what's going on, but I'm feeling kind of, am I supposed to be feeling kind of weird?
Like, it's an eclipse too.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of weird. Like, I'm feeling kind of like pulled and just weird. Right? I'm just having this weird feeling. So for all you people out there that are into these astrological sign business, maybe you can tell me what I'm going through because I'm feeling a little stress. Not stress, just my solar plexus feel weird. Yeah. Well, I did a lot of releasing, you know. So this week what I would say is that I released myself from my from NABO, right? I'm only doing a few things for them now, which, you know, I'm really excited about. You know, I actually released this man that I was dating, very lovely man, but we just weren't compatible. And I know it sounds terrible.
Next.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, we have to be true to ourselves. He was lovely. He was great. But we're just not compatible. I mean, what do? You know, so goodbye, Mr. Mighty. Right. Oh. I wish you the best in your future and in your life. And I'm on to finding the next. But, you know, I do thank him for opening up my sexual beingness. Mm-hmm. Because that was like shut down for a good while.
All right.
That was so shut down. It was like I forgot my throat. Actually, I'm going to say my vagina thought my throat was cut.
All right.
Because, gotcha. It hadn't had any tickling for a very long time. And
right.
he came into my life and opened it up again.
Like the L Literally. Train.
Like the what?
The L train.
Like the L train? The hell is the L train?
Exactly. If you don't know, now you know.
So the doors have been... And also, I got a new door today. So I kind of have it like, you know, not. I didn't just close the door. I broke down the door and All put right. up a new door.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I guess that's what's going on with the new moon. And then I'm a Capricorn. So the moon is in Capricorn. So I'm probably feeling a whole bunch of stuff. So anyway, less of me and more of the show. So tonight I have Stormin' Norman on the line or on the show.
Yep.
But it's not Norman Schwarzkopf.
No. No, he's... Right? He's
Is he dead?
No, he's actually still alive. He's he's a burly, bald...
Army guy.
Yes. Like White guy. Yep.
Yeah, what was he? He was the... What was his position? I've forgotten.
He was
the army guy of the United States, right?
I've been here long
general
enough.
General something general.
Yeah, he's the general, exactly. I've been here long enough, right? I should know that, right?
We should know that.
Yes.
Yeah, right? He's the invader.
Yes.
So, but no, did you get the name first or?
No, actually.
He had it first. Well, he's older than you.
Yes. So Iraq was 92. What was that, Iraq? Iraq was the first Desert Storm, sorry. There we go. Sorry. Let's get our history together. That was it's like 88, 92, somewhere about there.
Mm-hmm.
But
how quickly we forget.
Yes, how quickly we do. I actually got the name Stormin' Norman from my days as an 800 meter runner.
Mm.
So I was a runner, and one of the newspaper articles,
uh-huh.
I was ranked and all this stuff, and called me Stormin' Norman, and that's where it was.
Right, look at the sweat. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Can I get a tissue, somebody? This is becoming a regular every week.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
So Conrad Lindo, oh my God, those are like flashbacks. He's on the line. That was my neighbor from when I was a little kid in London. So this is quite, thank you so much. This is quite appropriate that somebody from my childhood is actually on,
all right,
on the line. So it's great. So Norman, pray tell us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right.
When did you first come here?
I arrived in the mean...
Come through Ellis Island. No, I'm kidding.
I came through the mean streets of Stamford, Connecticut from East London.
Stamford, Connecticut?
Yeah.
How was that?
Mean streets. Actually, you know, Stamford wasn't too bad. It was...
Yeah, but I'm talking not Stamford. I'm talking about you coming from East London.
You know what? It was timely. My parents, my mom's mom,
mm-hmm,
she went on a holiday to Florida.
Right.
It was like a cruise.
Right.
She came back and said to granddad,
we're moving.
Yeah. Pack up the house. She already had a friend she met on the cruise. She got her a job and she left. And then my mom was like, a year later,
packed up you guys.
Let's go. And then we actually had a friend of the family that actually moved. My grandmom and granddad moved down to West Palm Beach, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And my dad hated Florida. He said it was too hot. And he said, I'm going to go and visit our friends who live in Stamford, Connecticut.
I usually call Florida the place God's waiting room.
Yeah, you definitely stay out the heat.
It's when people go and retire.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, exactly. But my dad was like, no.
He didn't like it.
No, so we ended up in Stamford. Mm-hmm. Me and my sister, one of the sisters, went down to Florida with grandmom. And then after that, went to college. Went to Iona College, uh-huh, at New Rochelle, BA. Went straight to acting school.
Uh-huh.
Then got my first gig on the radio on WBLS. And then DJing took over, basically.
Uh-huh.
I was doing Chekhov and Neil Simon and all that good stuff. And...
Neil Simon?
Yeah. All that classic New York Broadway stuff. And then just being on the road a lot.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I just...
So you were on the road acting?
On the road, DJing.
Oh, DJing.
DJing took over my, uh-huh, life.
So you were acting first. Because I always say that, Norman, and I am not the only one that says he looks like... come on, guys. He looks like Idris.
Crickets.
You know you love it. Shut up.
You know, it's so funny. I was at Liverpool Disco Festival last year.
Uh-huh.
And there were a bunch of people that kept coming up to me. Can I take a picture with you? Can I take a picture with you? Can I take a picture with you? And after a while, there were like 5,000 people at this thing. And right. I would just go from stage to stage after I was done at one. And people were putting their arms around me. Hey, mate, can I take a shot with you? And I was like, after a while, I was like, I'm not him. I am not him. And they're like, yeah, you are. So anyway.
So it's really stressful living that life, right? If you were him, can you imagine how stressful that must be?
Well, if I was living his life, I wouldn't be walking around in the middle of the Liverpool Disco Festival.
No,
I would be in the VIP.
That's true. You know, but I'm saying that, like, being a celebrity, you know, people going to take a picture, going to take a picture, going to take a fucking picture.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that, to me, would be stressful.
You know what? For that day, it was... I mean, I get it a lot, I have to tell you, but...
You do get it a lot. Come on.
Yeah, I do get it a lot. But, but you know what? You know, that's the life you've chosen in terms of that, innit? Mm-hmm. So...
In it.
So, you know, and he's an East London boy, too. He's,
right.
He's a Hackney boy, so...
Have you ever met him?
Oh, yeah. He came over... he was here like 97,
mm-hmm,
And yeah, 97, 98. And he was DJing. He used to come to the club that I used to play, which was called Shine, which is on corner West Broadway and Canal. Mm-hmm. And one of my mates, Greg, he had a sound called the Wicked Crew.
Right.
And they played a lot of drum and bass right. and stuff. So he linked up with Greg, and then he would MC over the drum and bass at parties and stuff. And then we linked up, and you know, we were real cool. And then
so we like twins. I'm sorry, you know, I had to get that in. Come on.
And then one day,
he looked at you and said, "You look like me."
I was like, as my mom would say, "Everybody knows who their mom is." Yeah. You always know your mom.
That's right.
And then one day he was DJing at this place called 13th Street Meatpacking downstairs, APT.
Right.
He was DJing at APT and the Wire came on mm-hmm. around that time. And I was like, "Oh shit. That's Idris." So when I ran into him at APT, I was like, "Gov, all this time we've been running, going to the West Indian Day Parade, all this stuff, he didn't tell me he was doing the thing." I was like, "Yeah, I just want to keep it quiet, man. You know, keep it on the low. You know, I want to, you know, tell people, you know."
I didn't watch The Wire. I found it very frightening. I know it sounds really stupid, right? But I just don't like those violent movies. They frighten me.
Okay, Godfather?
That's kind of, to me, fiction. But I know it's real, but it's kind of fiction. But okay. When The Wire was like The Neighborhood, you know, it was kind of real for me.
Okay. All right.
I know it sounds weird, but I do. I kind of find it frightening. Because I'm always going to be looking for stray bullets and stuff.
Okay. And what neighborhood are you living in?
I live in Clinton Hill.
Oh, right. Well, there are no more bullets in Clinton Hill.
I know. We've gone up market. But you know what? There was a, when I lived on Washington Avenue, there was a bullet and somebody got shot outside of our, I don't know if it was like outside of our railing, like our fence.
Is that
somebody somebody died on the ground there.
Wait, is that over by where Com Cow is?
No, I'm over there now.
Oh, you're over there.
Yeah,
now.
Over there was wicked. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna take a break and we'll come back.
All right, sounds good.
Oh my God, no! Over.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter with Stormin' Norman, DJ. And we're back. So Norman, so we were saying about not the ginkgo biloba part, but
What was that again?
We're recapping. Like, so you came, your mother and father and your grandparents said, we're going to America.
Right.
We're moving to America.
Moving to America.
So pack up the kids.
There we go.
You went to Iona College.
Yep.
You studied drama and arts and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then the DJing took over.
Yep.
And you've been DJing and you met Idris Elba.
In 1997,
when he did The Wire, which I was afraid of.
Right.
and then he wanted to keep it on the low low. And then, go ahead.
So I was playing a lot. You know,
so you used to travel a lot with the DJ.
Yeah. I used to play a lot more in France. I pop into London, but I didn't play in London very much, which was kind of ironic because I didn't necessarily know sort of the connects there, even though 90% of my family has lived there, you know. Right.
So when you were DJing, you got these gigs on your own or people?
For most part, because
you didn't have an agent.
A lot of the places I played here in the city, most of the majors, you know, played at Nails, Lotus, and all sort of the sort of trendy clubs, you know. And so I would meet people that way and meet other DJs, and they're like, hey, when you're coming over, you can come play with me. And then it started that way, and that's kind of how it happened. And then a good few years of that, and I started to get a bit tired, you know, waking up in places, you know.
I was saying, waking up in places. Yeah, winky.
It's time to be done. And I had a son, too, so, you know. And, my mom, she encouraged me to go into real estate. You know, we owned real estate in Connecticut. And I said, you know what?
How long have you been doing real estate?
Well, since 2005, but you know, we were investing and everything earlier, and then you know, I just kind of wasn't inspired by the music anymore because the music had kind of shifted,
right?
Because you're talking 90s, you know, almost sort of classic hip hop, you know, like One Floor was all different styles of music.
Did you just go to All Nations, or was that...
All Nations, I never made it to.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, God.
I left just before that.
Yeah, that was a really good club.
Yeah. And then, so sort of the early 2000s, and so I was sort of fading off. I was still playing, but I was just sort of more as a side thing. And so I became a real estate broker, and one day I packed up all of my records.
Right.
And they were stacked to the ceiling, like, you know, 12 by 12 cubes, you know, about 100 records in each. And I came in from my real estate job, and half the tower had fallen. And the record boxes split open and everything like that. And so I was like, Jesus. So I still, you know, I have my suit on from work and stuff. And I started to
just go through them,
pick them up and tidy up a bit. And I was like, oh, I was looking at this record. Wow. Oh, I remember that one. Oh, I remember that one. And so I went in the back and set up my turntables and I started playing. I played for like 4 days.
Like, not 4 days straight.
No, 4 days straight. Work. Yeah. I would come home and order some Chinese food and I would just play all night. And so I said, you know what?
Do you have headphones on?
No.
So what happened to the neighbors?
Well, you know what? What's very interesting, the house that I moved into, it was a friend of mine. His name is Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry owned the building. He bought it out of foreclosure. I was on Strivers Row.
Uh-huh.
And it was an empty building.
Right.
So there was one bedroom.
Is your phone on?
No, it's not.
Okay.
So it was a one bedroom on the top floor.
Right.
The middle floor was two studios, and then there was a duplex.
Right.
So he said to me, listen, I just bought this out of foreclosure. Go take a look. tell me which apartment you want to stay in.
Right.
So I went in, I went to the top floor, needed a little clean up. I was like, no. And I went to the duplex, and the duplex was nice. And he says, you know what? I'm going to be doing some work in there. So I took the two studios. Right. So one in the front and one in the back.
Right.
So my bedroom was in the back studio, and I walk out in the hallway into the front.
Right.
So the front, that's where I put my speakers.
Right.
And I would just put them to the window and just play. So none of the neighbors really messed about with me, especially on the weekends. They loved it. They were sitting on the stoop.
I guess this was prior to gentrification.
Because
gentrification screws everything.
2006, let's say that. So, I basically said, you know what? I would like to play music again, but I don't want to get into the nightly grind of,
right.
of you know, packing up for 10 o'clock and playing till 4 in the morning, you know. And there was a party in Brooklyn called Soul Summit.
Right.
And
Soul Summit this last 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Soul Summit was literally belly to belly.
Oh, yeah. Smash.
It was like sweat just like off of people. You think I sweat? Nah. Mm. This was like sweat. Mm. People were bugging out.
Yep.
Because they only do it like 5 times now in the park. So
yep.
5 times brings twice as many, 3 times as many people.
Right.
I feel sorry for the grass.
So I would go to this party from other friends telling me about it. And then I would say, you know, I see so many Harlem people
at Soul Summit.
At Soul Summit. And I was like, why don't we have something like this? So one day I just got with a couple friends and I said, hey, you know, let's just do something on a Sunday.
Right.
And
how did you come up with the name?
All right. So
Sunday Sermon. Like Sunday ice cream dessert.
Ice cream, A-E. The name, it came about more of the spirit of when I started to play those records.
Right.
The spirit of a song that you really love.
Right.
And figure you're whatever, whether you're in your living room or whether you're in a club on a dance floor and that song comes on and you close your eyes and you sing that chorus.
It just takes you there.
It's that spirit, you know? And I didn't want it to be churchy, but I said, you know, the spirit of music, it brings people together.
Right.
You know, people don't care when good music is being played. When they hear what they want to hear, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
everybody goes, yes!
Yes. And a lot of the songs also was sort of on the disco side, so Ain't No Mountain High Enough and Any Love by Chaka Khan and, you know, those kind of records.
Keep
you
on
know?
Stopping.
Yeah. You know.
That song goes on, but I call that the Black Anthem.
Oh yes.
You have no to have stopping. That at a party. And you could literally go anywhere in the world, that song comes on. Black people go crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because my cousins, when one of my cousins had passed away, he had cancer, and I couldn't get over to London to the funeral, and they videoed
the repast.
You thought it was a club.
I know.
I was like, when that record came, when everyone was like, I was watching, I was like, oh, I'm so mad I couldn't have made that.
Well, let me tell you, my sister just died in April, and we had her repast, and I swear to God, you thought you were at a banquet, right?
Mm.
It was just, and then we had live music,
mm.
and then we had a DJ.
Mm.
Right? I was like, I ain't never been to any funeral like that.
Oh,
it was wicked. It was really good. It was really good send off.
Yeah.
Sunday Sermon.
Yeah, so Sunday Sermon. So, you know, we started off with maybe 50 people.
Right.
And there were more kids there, you know, with scooters and everything and the hula hoops than there were adults.
Right.
But, you know, more people sort of caught on. And we were at the top level of Morningside Park at like 113.
Is that where we were last year?
No, that was that's St. Nicholas. Okay. So there was, it's a smaller area, and it was actually really cozy. It's like you only knew about it because it's on the Morningside Drive side,
mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
On the Columbia side. And so you wouldn't have known about it unless somebody told you.
Right.
And that's how the party was built. It was built sort of word of mouth.
Well, can I tell you, last year was the first year that I went to Sunday sermon.
Mm.
I had gone to Soul Summit many times. However, no disrespect to Soul Summit, but I really liked Sunday sermon. What did I like about Sunday sermon? I like the family atmosphere that it provides. It's a mixture. It's everybody. There's the dance posse, the people that come to dance and go crazy, the garage people, and then
who
there are the family who still have their teeth, right? Yes, that's right. Because a lot of the garage people that go to Soul Summit don't have their teeth.
No, well, no. I'm meaning that, you know, they, you know, people who went to the garage who were already in their 20s. Right,
yes.
Are now 60 and 65 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you have to figure that.
And they're still dancing.
Right, and they're still dancing, and that's the great thing about
music.
Soul Summit and Sunday Sermon and all these parties is, you know, it's almost sort of like reliving their time, you know, but. I'm 51, so
you're a mere child.
I caught the end of it, and so. But if you were into music, you were in the places that you would hear the underground stuff, and you know, and when the kids used to wear the polka dot ties and the Batman shoes, and dancing on the floor. Like I remember, I used to go to this club called The World, and The World was like 89.
Uh-huh.
And
I was married then.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going anywhere. In my youth, I was married.
So like 89, like, you know.
I'll probably be going now.
Yeah. Right? You probably start right now. I would go in a shirt and tie, you know. I would go in a shirt and tie, and I'm going there with all these club kids, like kids who lived in the city proper, you know, all the city kids. And they're all just there dancing and kids who go to Ailey and go to the dance schools and stuff. And I was just mesmerized, even though I was playing that music, but I didn't have any friends in that community at that time.
Right. We're going to take a break, hold that thought, and we'll be right back.
No, you're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So I'm just going to give a shout out to Salik and Joan McFadden and Kerry and Aisha and Engel and all these people, call in if you've heard about, if you've heard of any of these parties, Soul Summit or
Sunday Sermon.
What's your experience? Call us on 877-480-4120. Yeah.
Yeah, so I started out with, we started out with about four dates. Last year, we started out four dates. And within 3 years, we went from 50 people to 2,000 people.
Right.
And then it just got bigger and bigger. And one great thing that I always hear about Sunday Sermon from people, they always talk about how it makes their summer.
It does.
It's like you go there and it's like you can, like people show up. Sunday Sermon starts at 1 o'clock and ends at 6. People arrive at 11 with camped out. People will just come and put their blankets down and leave.
Right.
And then come back at 1 o'clock. And there's almost like a, almost a real like respect. Oh, somebody already put their blanket down. Oh, I'm not going to move it. You know, right, it's, right. You know, and
there's love there.
Yeah.
Is what I feel.
Yeah. And even friends who have smaller children, you know, they're like,
You can leave your children there.
You know, well, mommy, daddy, we're going to run over there. Okay, go. And then mommy and daddy have their, you know, picnic basket with all their stuff in it. And they're just sitting there socializing. The kids will come back. And there's almost this feeling like there's no worries. You just enjoy. You enjoy the experience is light. It's happy.
That's what I found it to be. It's freeing.
It's generous. Yes. And
very, very generous. Like, I'm always going on about the food, but
yeah,
people are generous with it. When I went last year, that was the first time.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, come on, have a bit of chicken, have some fish, have some shrimp, which I don't eat.
Yeah.
And people were like pouring drinks for me and things like that. It was really lovely.
Yeah.
It was just really lovely. And I met people that I hadn't seen in a really long time. It's like a reunion.
Yes, it is. And I have to tell you, that's actually one great part about it, is that all of us who were going to the clubs in our 20s and late teens and 20s, whether you were at the Limelight, the Palladium.
I went to the Limelight with my husband.
Yeah, you know, Nails, you know, it's almost like a big family reunion. Now we all have children. And then,
in some cases, grandchildren.
Some do have grandchildren, you know. Then you have the younger audience that are in their 20s that really see this really easy, cool energy.
Right.
And you just get sucked in. And then it's funny because we moved up to St. Nicholas Park.
Right.
In 2012. 2013.
And even that park looks like you've outgrown it.
Yes, we have. And we're looking, you know, Sunday Sermon, you know, we're going other places, you know. Hopefully we go to a bigger park.
Is there a bigger park?
Larger sponsorships. Well, we have, you know, we have Governors, we have Randall's, you know.
Yeah, but then it's taking it out of Harlem.
Well, unfortunately, if it, you know, that's the unfortunate thing when something becomes successful.
Yeah, it's like what's Afro Punk?
Yes.
Afro Punk started at the end of my block.
Yes, exactly.
Right, at the end. It was the weirdest thing because I'd walk by these guys.
With a 15-foot stage.
Yeah, 15-foot stage. tiny, skinny black guys with these big guitars rocking out. Right, and I would pop by, maybe have a hot dog or two because they gave away free hot dogs or whatever.
And then people with all their wares.
Yeah, selling all their crap by the side. And then, you know, and now look at Afro Punk.
It's like 20,000 people over the weekend.
But it's also Afro Punk International.
Yes, they're in South Africa, Atlanta, South Africa, London right now. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's a niche for Afropunk, and by the name, it says exactly what it is.
Right.
And, you know, there's always going to be people that are going to go, well, it lost its, you know, original flavor, et cetera.
Well, of course it's going to lose the original flavor because it was the end of the block.
Things have to grow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it totally has grown.
And reaching other audiences. I mean, I've done Sunday Sermon in Sydney. I've done it in South Africa.
Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Smaller version, of course, right. and same thing in Sydney. You know, that's the goal. I mean, Afropunk has already sort of done what it do, mm-hmm. you know. But that is somewhat of the future for Sunday Sermon. You know, we have I have the record label that hopefully will be have a couple records out for the summer.
do you know Cynthia Maleron?
No.
Yeah, she's also a DJ that I wanted to have on the show, but she got sick. Mm. But I saw the other, she does like international parties all over the world. Mm. She was just doing DJ for Oprah. She DJs for all like the celebrities. She's awesome. I love her.
Dynamite.
Yeah, so I guess that's, you know, you're all kind of on the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, you know, since technology has moved everything so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like the idea of like being in the 90s when I would get all my records, go to Arista,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
talk to my man JP.
Mm-hmm.
Friday is record day.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give me all the new Bad Boy albums.
Right.
And then it would take a couple months, 6 months,
right.
before it gets to London or gets to Japan or
right.
or whatever. So now everything click click click. You can sit in your drawers and, you know.
I don't want to know about your activities.
You know, and get these records a lot quicker.
Right. So and everybody pretty much gets them around the same time.
Everybody
now.
Gets them at the same time, but you know, also it's like, you know, music is very regional as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially when it used to be more regional. So, for instance, we had New York has its own sound. New
right.
York will always have its own sound,
right?
Right. But then you go to Miami, they have
the
Luke and all of that stuff. And then you go to New Orleans, Ghetto Boys, and then Nelly's in the Midwest, and then Dre and Snoop, and then you go to Seattle, and yeah, everybody's sound.
Right.
So. Sort of, now it's sort of like a mashup between sort of dubstep with like Skrillex and
I know nothing about this stuff. Right. I don't know Skrillex. I know acrylic.
Hold on. well, you know dubstep, right?
Yes, I know dubstep.
Right. So dubstep comes out of reggae.
Right.
And then you had Moby, who was sort of the first
right.
one that kind of turned it into sort of like a commercial sort of success.
Right.
Then Skrillex, he's in his 20s. So everybody's sort of building on their own
right.
sort of thing. And what's kind of interesting
Skrillex
is
a person.
Yes, he is. He is Grammy Award winner. He sells out Wembley Stadium. Like,
sorry, Skrillex. I have no idea.
He's a big deal.
I pass him in the street. I'd be like, hey.
Yeah, yeah, he wears glasses. All right, let me just narrow it down to that, right? Yeah, but with technology, everybody gets everything now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And all these different forms of house music and disco remixes, and so there's so many more different categories of house music and disco. You know, there's a straight disco. There's a friend of ours.
I haven't heard that word in forever.
What's that?
Disco.
Yeah, Eli Escobar. He does a great party. Tiki.
You need a ginkgo.
Tiki hut. Tiki something, right? Tiki disco, that's what it is. And he does all disco remixes.
Right.
You know, but he came from hip hop.
Right.
You know, so it's all of us, you know, we're all kind of evolving in terms of this soulful house, which I play a lot of, Afro house.
Yeah, you should
tech
see this.
House.
I want people to know, to see this guy when he's doing DJing, when he's like doing his DJ stuff, it's like literally is in another world. You're not even there.
Mm.
You've checked out. You're like in the music.
Yeah,
the music.
And I have my headphones on, and Noreen's like, in my ear. And so like, blah, blah, and I don't hear a thing. She's like, she's talking. I'm like, I'm in the middle of mixing my two records, and she's like, blah, 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 and I'm like, and then sometimes I'll even put up the finger and go, wait one second.
She just, I don't know what he's talking about. Because I have no concept of what, you know, that takes.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I apologize.
No, it's all right. It's all right. You wouldn't be the only one, trust me. I play,
And you don't even have to know how to dance when you play music. You can just, like, throw yourself around like this.
You know
what?
I do. This is what I say. When it comes to people dancing, you dance to whatever moves your body.
That's right.
Right?
Throw yourself around.
And one thing I do love about, especially, house music and disco, is that there's no rules to it. Like, when you dance to hip-hop, there are dances that you do.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to do it. It took me... Like, remember the snake?
Right.
Remember that? Yep. How long ago was that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a gazillion years ago.
Right, exactly.
I learned it when it was over.
Right.
I still do it.
Right. And so it's sort of like, you know, with house music and disco and stuff, you just...
Do you.
You know, there's no question of who's doing what. You're either dancing to the downbeat, you're dancing to the drum, you're dancing to the hi-hat, you're dancing to the vocal.
Oh, there's all that stuff going on?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm dancing to. I'm just going at it.
Nah, man. Well, exactly. You just figure out which one touches you.
I just find one of the movements and just go with it.
And that's it. I mean, look at Stevie Wonder. He is a perfect example of how to touch your soul in his music, especially like a song like As. Right. Like, you know, when he breaks down into, ooh, and then that part goes, we all know. Like, everybody's just throwing their hands up in the air and they're twirling and they're like, it's like touching your soul, you know what I mean? And, you know.
My soul's made of rubber. we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Lauren, you're nuts.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
We're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Storm and Norman.
Burr, burr.
So, I want to find out more about when's the next Sunday sermon. I know when it is, but I want you to share it with the people.
All right, so Sunday sermon, the next one is August 11th at St. Nicholas.
Is that the first one for the year?
That's the first and only one of the year.
Oh, wow, you only doing one this year?
I only doing one.
Why is that?
Is
it gentrification?
No, it's It's gotten too big for Harlem Parks. So I would rather do one than not do it at all.
Right.
So, but there's a plan for next year. So, you know, but let's focus on this year.
Yes.
So it's St. Nicholas Park, 135th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue from 1 o'clock to 6. Bring your picnic basket and all your fun things that you like to put in your picnic basket, whether you're watching the Mets or in Central Park or whether you're in Brooklyn at Fort Greene Park. You know, you put whatever you need to put in your... but actually, I'll tell you a funny thing. When Sunday Sermon first started, people would have their picnic baskets and there would be wine and cheese, you know, and stuff. Now people have... curry goat, rice and peas, candy yams.
That's great.
Like, there's a people.
A host of stuff.
They bring out a whole thing, you know.
And there are people that have a whole big table with different warming trays.
Yes.
All kinds of food in there. It's awesome. It's like a food fest.
Well, actually, no warming trays anymore. No flames. Bring your foods.
Make sure it's hot already.
Yeah. And
So what about, because I saw generators last year.
Yeah, the generator was actually for the DJ setup.
No, I thought I saw generators with people and their food thing.
Well, maybe they were hiding in the back. I mean, there's over 5,000 people there. So who, you know.
But there's 5,000 people, but it feels so warm.
Yes.
And so friendly.
That's the magical thing. Yeah. You know,
I'll collect money for you this year.
All right.
I really enjoyed that.
Yes. There will be a
performance.
Yes, there will be a performance actually. So there's a group, Vi Higginson. She is known for Mama, I Wanna Sing on Broadway. And she's featured on 60 Minutes, and she has these teen singers. Big shout to Noel. She runs all of the teen singers, and they always open up Sunday Sermon.
Mm-hmm.
They start with a choir, and they are powerful. You have to. They were on an Apple commercial. You know, they've been doing quite a few things, but it's a. Ultimately, a great day. We sometimes have surprise guests.
Yeah, you had a surprise guest last year. I don't remember who he was, but I do remember his song, but I can't sing it to you.
Mick Murphy from The System. The System is the 80s group. You are in my system.
Right.
I just want you to know that.
All right, spare
sing
us.
Well.
Stick to DJing.
Yes, that's
so,
what that's
so
what I do.
So how many, like, just like roughly, how many Henry Sumter, we're not related, welcome to the show. Mm. How many records do you have? And you remember Son Boy?
Yes.
Box Boy.
Yes. Crates and crates and crates. And actually, my storage unit is 15, 10 by 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... completely full to the ceiling and to the door.
Ouch.
All records.
But you don't do records anymore.
No.
So you, how do you do it?
Oh, everything.
Is digital?
Everything is digital, but you record, we have these things that you record the actual records into the computer, which creates a file. Or you can just go on iTunes and download it. But
so you have thousands and thousands of records.
Yeah.
Do people still collect records?
Yes, they do. They have record conventions at the Javits. One just passed. I mean, it's incredible, like, you know, finding some. You know, the thing about DJing and how it used to be was that you used to go to the record store to find that record.
Right, I remember Deptford.
Right, and then you go to the club and you play the record,
right.
And then everybody's walking up to you, what is that record?
Right.
Now people just Shazam, you know?
Right.
That was the art of the DJ. Now, sort of like, now these programs that people have almost make it easy for people to DJ, but here's where...
Yes, please tell us.
This is where you find out who are DJs and who are not the DJs. The transitions from one record to the other.
Oh, can I please take a breath on that one? Because I hate going places where they play the first little snippet of a record and you get into it, and then all of a sudden they take it off and you're into another record. What is that about?
Okay, let me tell you something.
With my eyes.
Right. In the late 80s, 90s, right, we used to call this thing quick mixing, right? Mm-hmm. So figure you're in, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and the club hits a lull, right? What you would do is you would take 10 of like hit records that were about a year old.
Right.
And you would just play the first verse, boom, and you get the energy of the crowd back up,
right.
And then you drop back with something current and then let the record play.
Right.
What's happened is that the culture has now taken that quick mixing thing and they do it all night.
I hate it.
As opposed to not getting the, you know, but that's their style, but that's kind of where they got it from.
Right.
But they do it all night. And so.
But you don't do that.
No. No, I don't do that. You know, when I need to transition, like when I go into hip hop and reggae and things like that, you know, there are some records that you just hit the verse,
right.
or you just hit the chorus,
right.
and you get the energy up in the room, and then you know what I mean.
Right.
Or you take two records and you chop them up, and then let it run. You know, but that's where that came from,
right.
and I think the next generation didn't understand that. It was just used as a ploy
right.
to get people up and moving.
Right.
Now they just do it through the whole bloody thing.
I hate that. So annoying. Yeah. So have you ever considered doing a DJ documentary? That just popped into my head.
No, but definitely, you know, going in, you know, people have asked me about some things like that. I have been in a couple. There's a couple that are out there that talk about the dance music life. There's a couple that talk about the hip-hop music life, you know, the garage life,
right.
you know. You know, that, you know, speaks of New York. You know, it's like, you know, if you were a New Yorker in those times, it's like, you know, a generation like, if your parents' generation said, you know what, East London used to be the lick back
right.
in 72.
Right.
You know? And then we're over here like, you know, New York City was the shit. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you can guess.
In, you know. 89, 92, when hip-hop was, you know, and then NWA came in and then just threw so much disrespect on the whole game because all of a sudden
right.
it got really slack when the West Coast came
right.
in. You know?
The gangster rappers.
Yes. So, you know,
I do know a little something.
Yeah. So, I tip my hat to every generation that
right.
comes along. You know, they have their own interpretation. You
know, it's a disruptor.
Yeah. You
but
know?
It's just a shift. And yeah. then things shift on and on it's, and on. They can't stay the same.
Right. And it is also cyclical as well, because back then we used to be able to play house music, hip hop, reggae all on one floor. Then when you got to the 2000s, house music couldn't even touch a hip hop floor.
Right.
And then now with Afrobeat, you know, and all those other styles that fit in the speed of reggae,
right.
They all and reggaeton. Like,
you know
like
what I'm hearing? Like, so I get my music through in the summertime through the window because the windows are up and people go by in their cars.
Right.
And what I've been hearing lately is a lot of African music,
yeah.
which is like Afro reggae.
Yep.
That's so cool. I
because
love
it's
it.
All the same speed.
Yes.
It's all the same speed. All of that, you know, like 105 beats a minute. That's all like WizKid, Burna right. Boy. And that runs into like, the old school reggae, like Murder, She Wrote,
right.
and you know, and Ting-a-ling-a-ling, and they're all so
right. Nice, fuck up, fight, but don't play.
Hey, pull up, selector. Come again.
Yeah, but that's where I get my music from. I swear, the summer song I know when there's a summer song because it comes from my window.
Yeah. So. You know,
so is there any, we got 2 minutes left. Is there anything else that you want to say?
You know, you can go onto Sunday Sermon on Sunday Sermon Facebook, uh-huh. And the crowdfunder will be going up.
Okay.
Basically, in that park, we can't have vendors because we have too many people. So we have Whole Foods.
Is
one of our sponsors. Fresh Direct.
You have a bank.
Uptown.
Uptown Music? Uptown
Magazine.
Oh,
yeah, Uptown Magazine. You know, Harlem Skin and Laser Clinic. You know, they're putting down big dollars.
She deserves to put down big dollars.
And, you know, come out. You'll see the date on the Sunday Summer Facebook. You can catch me, DJ Stormer Norman, at Red Rooster every Friday, 9 to 2. You know.
Dance your pants off.
And that's it, you know.
So www...
Oh, no. Send it to Sunday Sermon, Facebook page.
Okay, Sunday Sermon and Sunday like the dessert.
A-E, S-U-N-D-A-E,
right.
Sermon, S-E-R-M-O-N.
Norman,
Church.
I just want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It was awesome. It's nice to speak to another Brit, even though you don't sound like one anymore.
Yeah, you know, only on Wednesdays.
You stupid ass. So, guys, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Have a great one. Bye.
Laters.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.